Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, yeah. What's going on, DMV? You know who it is. Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan. And always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. Ride with me. It'll take you up to 9:15 here on this abbreviated Monday night edition of Overtime. Plenty to get to. A fantastic weekend in the sports world. They had everything for everybody. The Defenders were in action. Caps were in action. Nats were in action. We had the Women's National Championship. We had the Final Four on Friday night, which set tons of records on ESPN. We'll talk about that before we get out of here as well. We'll take you up to 9:15 tonight before dishing things over to Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. They'll get you warmed up for Nats and Giants here tonight. A 9:45 first pitch. Trevor Williams set to be on the bump for Davey Martinez, the squad. We'll get you a full-scale preview of that coming up a little bit later on here in the program. I want to start with the Women's National Championship game yesterday, though, man. It was honestly something that I was glad to be glued in and caring about. It's just cool, right? That's the best way that I can just put it, man. It's pretty darn cool to see all the eyeballs on the sport and to see the massive recognition that has come here to women's basketball as a whole. And I always say it, it's not just women's college basketball. I think it's women's basketball in its entirety. And the big storyline to me yesterday, obviously we see the end of one of the most tremendous careers in the history of college basketball with Caitlin Clark playing her final game for the Iowa Hawkeyes. But yesterday was just so massive for the sport. You had an undefeated team versus the best player in the country. And the coach of that undefeated team, Dawn Staley, her greatness yesterday really feels like it was captured for the first time on a national stage, right? And I'm maybe jumping the gun, talking in hyperbole. I feel like we need to start having conversations when it comes to Dawn Staley about her not just being one of the greatest women's coaches of all time, but maybe one of the best collegiate coaches in the history of the sport. Men's, women, when it comes to basketball, football, just based on what she's done for a South Carolina basketball program that really was left for dead when she took it over. A program that didn't have the clout and name recognition that it now has. Three national championships, three consecutive Final Fours, two SEC tournament championships, three first-round draft picks, and soon to be four with their senior center, Camila Cardosa, getting ready to declare this overall year. A record of 109-3. She is on a run right now that is absolutely historic. I know we had other big-time college basketball news come out this afternoon, and for someone that has grown up on Big Blue Nation, seeing John Calipari not only just leave Kentucky, but leave it for an SEC rival in Arkansas honestly makes this story even more massive, but I bring it up for this reason. I don't know who Kentucky is in bed with right now to be the next head coach. I believe it is Arkansas's former head coach, correct? But Dawn Staley would be on my short list. If you want to talk about keeping what has made Kentucky relevant over the past decade plus, and really it goes back further than that, if you're talking about the past 15 years, going all the way back to John Wall and Anthony Davis, if you really want to keep what's kept Kentucky in the limelight relevant, and that's the recruiting and their ability to get the best players in the country, Dawn Staley has proven to be one of the best recruiters in women's college basketball. And based on the popularity and her ability to relate to young folks, I think she's somebody that can easily go over to the men's side and have that same level of success, because it's always about the talent that you ultimately have. South Carolina, though, yesterday with the win, etching their name into history forever. Their third national title in the last seven NCAA tournaments. That championship cements the Gamecocks as one of the sport's modern-day dynasties and makes them just the 10th undefeated champion in Division I women's basketball history. Only UConn, Texas, Tennessee, and Baylor are the only other schools to ever achieve that feat. Dawn Staley in South Carolina, super impressive yesterday. There's a swag that they have about them. If you were lucky enough to watch the women's natty yesterday, they call her Louis Vuitton Dawn. Dawn Staley always keeping the drip on her, wearing the Louis Vuitton jacket yesterday. It was awesome to watch. And it feels like whatever happens with her at the University of South Carolina, they're bringing in the number two player in ESPN's top 100 for the class of 2024. So they continue to retool. They're going to be back and they're going to be better next year. But I really do think it is time we have more conversation about what I brought up a moment ago. I know she's making good money at South Carolina. I understand the prestige that she's brought to that program. But if you know the mental makeup and the DNA of some of the best coaches in all of the land, they have multiple stops because once you go rebuild a program, you get the urge to go want to rebuild another. So if I was a college basketball program out there that was on the men's level, the men's Division I level, I'd be certainly courting Dawn Staley to try to see if I can secure her services for all the reasons I just listed. She may be, for my age group at least, youngest in charge movement, 26 years of age. For us young folk out there, we haven't seen anything like this before. Her run, not that we haven't seen it before, but it's only been a couple other cats in college basketball that have had the success that Dawn Staley's having in South Carolina. As I mentioned, 109-3. It doesn't even sound real when you say it. Like, now that I'm repeating it out loud, it doesn't even sound real. But that's what she has done for the South Carolina Gamecocks. As I mentioned, though, yesterday's game, not just about South Carolina and the victory, not just about Caitlin Clark either. I think the game was massive for the sport, man. Undefeated team in South Carolina going up against the best player in the country, talking about Caitlin Clark. It was some of the best stuff you'll see when it comes to all the post-game audio that we had, watching the players on the floor, seeing the frustration to Caitlin Clark. Her greatness was on full display as well, even though she kind of struggled from the field after that second quarter. You saw her impact and the gravity that she has on the game, getting her teammates involved, and really being one of the key catalysts and driving forces as to why the microscope right now is on women's college basketball. One of my favorite moments from yesterday, South Carolina women's head coach Dawn Staley personally thanking Caitlin Clark for her contributions to the game in front of the entire world.
Awesome, awesome. And I want to personally thank Caitlin Clark for lifting up our sport. She carried a heavy load for our sport, and it just is not going to stop here on the collegiate tour. But when she is the number one pick in the WNBA draft, she's gonna lift that league up as well. So Caitlin Clark, if you're out there, you are one of the GOATs of our games, and we appreciate you.
Love that. For Dawn Staley to take the time out in that emotional moment for her, and if you got to watch on ESPN, I love me some Holly Rowe, one of the best sideline reporters in our game. Doesn't matter what damn sport it is. She just is the best at capturing the emotion of the moment, and Dawn Staley was beside herself, man. It was really cool to see her that vulnerable on a national stage like that, but then to have the wherewithal to think about Caitlin Clark, who, for my money, has been one of the driving forces for the revolution of women's college basketball, to have the wherewithal to stop and thank her in the moment. I thought it was absolutely massive and something that, you know, fans out there will never, ever forget. My big question out of all of this, though, because to me, women's college basketball has probably been the biggest story over the weekend, just seeing the numbers come out. My question is this. Will the game, talking about women's hoops, will it continue to have massive popularity, or is this just a flash in the pan? Because the numbers are off the damn charts. The matchup, which peaked at 24 million viewers, that national title game yesterday is now the most watched basketball game from men's college basketball, women's college basketball, the NBA, the WNBA,
since 2019. The women's national title game yesterday, the most watched basketball event since 2019. Think about what we've had since 2019 and all the great finals matchups that we've seen in the NBA. I think it really just accurately depicts, you know, just how much this sport is growing. I believe I was reading on Bear Sports Media, up 182% from last year in terms of the ratings. And that was a historic final last year between Iowa and LSU. So the game continuing to grow. I think the stars like Juju Watkins and Tessa Johnson and KK Arnold, that is the reason why I think the game is going to continue to grow and why it's not just a flash in the pan. Because these women are going to continue their career on in the WNBA. And if you're a real hoop head, if you're a real hoop lifer, you're going to follow it because you're enamored by just how damn talented these women are. It was super impressive to watch. And my hope is that we continue to see the game grow and the popularity maintain the continue to grow and be the same as these women translate to the WNBA. We got the men's national championship tonight. A battle of two premier bigs, number one seeds in each of their respective brackets. Donovan Clingan in the UConn Huskies going up against Zach Edey in the Purdue Boilermakers. For Edey, who has just been absolutely dominant, back-to-back national player of the year, Edey with a chance to make history tonight. This national championship between the men's has all the feels, right? Your throwback bigs with Clingan and Edey. You got two blue blood programs trying to make history. UConn, a blue blood program, rather. And then Purdue trying to make history. UConn on the precipice of accomplishing a rare feat, right? They'll be the first repeat champion in college, in men's college basketball, rather, since 2007. That Joakim Noah Florida Gators team. And then for Purdue, they've never won the national championship, and this is their first appearance since 1969. So a whole bunch of history, all the fields tonight for the men's national championship game. I've talked about it on over the weekend on CBS Sports Radio and here on The Fan. I'm just excited to see two throwback bigs go up against each other. This is what we've all been thinking about ever since the Elite Eight, when we knew that this matchup was possible and we saw just how dominant Zach Edey's been. It feels like Donovan Clingan, a projected lottery pick for UConn, is the only guy in the country that has the chops to slow Edey down. Edey, like I said, though, trying to make history and damn self. Six straight NCAA tournament games for Edey with 20 points and 10 rebounds. That's the longest streak in tournament history. The longest streak in the tournament since Elvin Hayes did it back in 1968. So, Zach Edey, for what it's worth, all the debate about what he's going to be on the next level, I know this, he's been a damn dominant college basketball player. We got Purdue and UConn coming up later on tonight. I'll give you a more detailed preview as we move throughout the show. As I mentioned, I'll take you up the 9:15 tonight. Nats and Giants underway coming up at 9:45. That'll be the first pitch. Charlie Slows and Dave Jackler get you warmed up starting at 9:15 right here on The Fan for the Nats. They'll be away from Nats Park for a while. Game one of three straight series away from Nats Park. They're going a little bit of a West Coast road trip. They'll be at the Giants, at the A's, and at the Dodgers tonight. Trevor Williams set to get the start. And the pitching, a little bit better for the Nats over the weekend. We got to see Jake Irvin, Mackenzie Gore, and those two had some decent outings over the weekend. So we'll see if the Nats can make it two in a row after beating the Phillies by a score of 3-2 yesterday. I mentioned some other D.C. sports in action. Caps last night, if anyone got to watch that, they've been gut-wrenching. I'm just call it what it is. They have been absolutely gut-wrenching since about 2-3 weeks ago, and they had that big win over Detroit. It has been all downhill since then. Caps lost another tough one last night to Ottawa by a score of 3-2 in overtime. Caps now on the outside looking in with five games left to play. They're tied with Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, 1 point back of Detroit for that second and final wildcard spot in the Eastern Conference, and they're two behind the Islanders for third place in that Metropolitan Division. So we'll see if Coach Carbs and company can get on a heater here with five games remaining. I want to take a call here if you have any. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. See some calls rolling in about what Caitlin Clark and company and women's college basketball, what it's meant. Let's go to Jack in Woodbridge once tap in. What do you think, Jack? Is this something that can continue to grow, or do you think it's a flash in the pan?
Well, first of all, great show, man. I listen to you every night. I've been listening to you since you come on. I've been a 106.7 fan since 2003. I don't need no props. You guys do a great job. But let me get to the point.
I appreciate you, my man.
And that is, like everybody else, this was very enticing, very exciting. But let's be honest. Once this ends, it's going to go back to what it does every year. Now, we've got some personalities, an outstanding personality day out. Yes. Oh, by the way, when you use the word cats, talking people, my man. I use that stuff. I'm 65. People look at me like I got they look at me like I got an appendage growing out of my forehead, if you know what I'm saying. But you killed it with that. I'm like, he just dropped the cats. Anyway, look, it's a great job. Now, the one point I will 100% agree with you on, you made with that South Carolina coach, and excuse me, I forget her name. Tom She's Smith. An awesome lady. Yes, yeah. Her getting a shot to coach men, 100%. Look at her track record. She's got bona fides across the board. So if I'm a college player, I'm looking at what her resume says, and I'm going to listen to that young lady. Everyone's young to me now. But I just don't think it's going to translate to the women's NBA. I mean, I tried that last year.
Yeah.
And then when I watch it, it's like, oh, man, I got limited time. Am I going to go with the Cats game or am I going to go with this? Am I going to go – you see what I'm saying? I got limited time. Now, if I'm a slug with no work and I'm sitting at home, you know, eating Doritos, watching everything, I'm probably going to tune in because the ladies are exciting. It's just not there yet, I don't think. And I want it to be because I want the ladies to do well. They try as hard as anybody.
For sure.
What do you got?
Jack, I appreciate the call as always, my man. I agree with it. I mean, it's going to be hard for the WNBA's popularity to grow rapidly, but I think this year you'll see a massive jump. Because I can be honest with you, it's unlike anything we've ever seen talking about Caitlin Clark and her impact on the game. I think her alone causes the WNBA and their ratings to go up. I saw their commissioner talking, I believe it was last night, their new TV deal that comes in when you have all the star power that's getting ready to be infused into this league, I think their money's going to continue to skyrocket and you'll start to see the pay even out a little bit as well. One thing that I was talking about yesterday, I did some radio on CBS Sports Radio, and one caller called and made a hell of a point. And LeBron James spoke about this week and a half, 2 weeks ago. The big reason why I think we're able to see tremendous stories like Caitlin Clark and one that you'll see with Juju Watkins, who broke freshman records this year as well, when you have to play 4 years in college basketball as a woman, it gives you the time to build your character and popularity as a player and for folks to get to follow you in today's social media age. You become a household name. It's much easier to become a household name, I would say, in women's college basketball than it is with the men's because the turnover is just so frequent. So we'll see if women's basketball can continue to take steps in the right direction. I'm super excited for it. WNBA draft coming up in a couple of weeks. We'll see who our local Mystics take with their first-round pick. Plenty more to get to, though, here on this Monday night edition of Overtime. You all know how I get down. It's the People Show. Tap in with me all show long. One of three ways, MGM National Harbor Lister lines wide open. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Plenty more to get to. Top of the 7 o'clock hour. In this 7 o'clock hour, our pal Sean Sharif, host of Sean and RJ, weekdays, Monday through Friday, out in Dallas on 105.3 The Fan. There's some mess going on in Big D between Micah Parsons and CeeDee Lamb. He'll join us bottom of the 7 o'clock hour to talk through all of that. When we get back, though, 17 days away from night one of the NFL draft. I'll tell you why I think the Commanders quarterback decision is now a four-horse race. You had to stay tuned to hear more of that.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Just getting rocking and rolling here on this Monday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham taking you up to 9:15 before we hand things over to Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. They get you warmed up for game one of Nats and Giants. The Nats away from Nats Park for a while. 12 straight games away from home tonight. Game one of three against the Giants. It'll be Trevor Williams on the bump. It is a 9:45 first pitch. Pre-game coverage gets going right here on The Fan, starting at 9:15 with Nats on deck. We talked about the women's national championship game, talked about the men's national championship game. Want to get to the National Football League draft now, because that is what a lot of you out there care about. It's the number one thing on my mind nowadays. And each and every day I wake up with a different favorite quarterback on my mind when it comes to the Washington Commanders and who they could potentially select with that number two overall pick. As we sit 17 days out from night one of the draft, the conversation continues about the biggest position of need for Washington. And, of course, the debate continues about which quarterback the Commanders are going to take number two. As we inch closer to the draft, everyone's got an opinion when it comes to Washington's number two pick, including Super Bowl winning quarterback Kurt Warner. He had this to say on whether or not he would take Jaden Daniels or Drake May if he was the Commanders.
If I'm picking, and I've got to make that choice based on what I saw on tape this past year, I'm going to go Jaden Daniels. I want to believe that Jaden Daniels just kind of came into his own, figured out who he was, the whole game came together, and we're going to get that at the next level. On tape, I would say that would be my choice, that I would go with Jaden Daniels just, and again, I don't sit down in a room with them, I don't get to talk to him from that capacity, but on tape, I thought he had the best tape from last year that would excite me enough to go, geez, if I can't pass that guy. You know, I got to at least see if this is the guy he is for his career. Whereas Drake May, I understand why there's an allure there. And, you know, you see some incredible throws and you love the body type. And, you know, and he had a great, 2 years ago, 22, not as good this last year. I just thought there was a number of technical flaws in his game this year and even some last year that just make me pause, because if you're not technically sound, I don't care what level you're playing at, you're going to miss and you're going to have issues and you're going to have, you know, times where you miss layups, and you can't miss layups at the NFL level. You have to be able to make those things most of the time. And so you got to be ready. You got to play fast and you got to have technique. Yeah, is that something you can clean up? I think Josh Allen's a great example of, as he's cleaned up his technique, he's become one of the, you know, best quarterbacks our league, you know, has seen. And so it can be corrected. It's just, to me, when you see it as much as I saw it on tape, it worries me.
That is Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner. He joined the Kevin Sheehan show on Friday and had that to say about what he would do if it came down to Jaden Daniels versus Drake May. Interestingly enough, as I've gone throughout this process and I've done my own work and my own evaluations, and I know Mad Max has been one of the other guys grinding the film.
Always.
Max, what I'm going to ask you this, because I'll make you my co-host here for a hot second. If it was just between Daniels and May, is it a scenario where you agree with Kurt Warner that Jaden Daniels is the guy?
It's tough. It really is. Because, like, there, it's what it really comes down to, like, who do you want to lead the team? Because it's leadership style at this point. There, each guy has something that you want to clean up. Each guy has something that they do really well. So I personally, I'm more of a Drake guy, but I can I trust Adam Peters with my life. So whoever he picks on April 27th is who I'm going to ride with.
What have I been saying? We're at the mercy of the evaluator. I feel the exact same way. I trust him with my life. I trust him. I trust him with your life. I trust him with my livelihood. That's the only way I can say it. We begged and pleaded to get a real general manager in here. So whatever they decide to do, I'm on board with it. The one thing I will say is all process long, it's felt like it's been between Jaden Daniels and Drake May. But as we continue to inch closer to the draft, I am starting to believe that this is not just a two quarterback discussion for the number two overall pick.
Well, yeah, we got J.J. McCarthy coming up the wings.
I hear you on J.J. McCarthy. He's a guy that's continuing to rise. But based on what Albert Breer put out in his MMQB notebook this morning, I think it is a four-quarterback race for the number two overall pick for the Washington Commanders. Because based on people that Albert Breer has talked to in the scouting community and coaches, executives, etc., Washington's Michael Penix Jr. is continuing to skyrocket up draft boards. Now, in Albert Breer's piece this morning, he says he's always hesitant to say that anyone's flying up draft boards because it simply just doesn't happen that way. And I agree with Albert when he says this. More times than not, when we hear about a guy shooting up a draft board, it's been that way in the scouting community the whole time. It's just now being made known to the public. The media has a hell of a job, or does a hell of a job, in my opinion, really setting the narrative for how NFL teams think about a guy. And quite frankly, it's not fair in a lot of cases, if we're being honest. Because Michael Penix is such an interesting case study to me. Because I've always said it, he is probably the most fundamentally sound quarterback of anybody that's going to come out in this year's draft in terms of the accuracy and footwork. I think he's got all the mechanics that you want. The ball flies off of his hand. I think he's got everything that you want. And the numbers are hard to argue with. He was a Heisman Trophy candidate last year. He was a Heisman Trophy candidate the year before. He is a cat to me that I would just have a hard time betting against based on what I've seen from him during his time at Washington. And I always say this about quarterbacks that come out of college. I like a guy that's gone through a little bit of athletic adversity. And based on the trials and tribulations that Michael Penix has been through from transferring to the injury bug, I really do feel like he's got the mental fabric to handle the pressure. And hear me out on this. To handle the pressure of coming in here to Washington, the nation's capital, and being that franchise-altering guy. And for a franchise that has been starred for a long-term answer at that position, as you said, Max, at this point in the evaluation, you can watch the tape over and over and over and over again. The tape's not going to change, right? What now becomes also important in this process to me is these top 30 visits and these private workouts. Because as you said, Max, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, this is that time of year where you find out what the hell a guy is made of. And I think with each of these guys, there's something that you really like, right? Drake May. You talk to people in the scouting community, Drake May, for all the inaccuracies that he's had on tape, for all of the airmail throws, he had the opportunity to go get big NIL money at Alabama and Ohio State this past year. And if I was a scout and I was a coach, I'd be super impressed that he was that loyal to his teammates at Chapel Hill that he turned that opportunity down, stayed there with a patchwork offensive line, losing receivers, and he thugged it out. I'm going to tell you straight up, even though I just praised Drake, man, he is probably QB4 for me. And I flip back and forth between him and McCarthy for QB4 and 5. I think it's Caleb Williams in a tier of his own. I think it's Jaden Daniels 2. I'm now at the point where I think Michael Penix is QB3. And I flip-flap back and forth between May and McCarthy for who would be QB4. Now, when I talk about this, it's not a knock on McCarthy, and it's not a knock on May. It's just really a ode to who they're in the class with. This is a damn good quarterback class. And I know we've had these conversations before. I talked about it this past weekend. Is it a scenario where this class, where we're projected to have 5-6 guys going round one, is it one of those where it's going to be more reminiscent of 2021, where Trevor Lawrence was the best guy that you had, but you had 5 consensus first-round picks? Or is it going to be like 2020, where you had 4 guys going the first round, and all of them seem like can't-miss prospects right now? Because I'm a big Jordan Love fan and think that he's going to take another massive step forward. So that's the big thing that you have to find out here. And as I said about Drake May, the accuracy scares the hell out of me. And I don't know if it has to do with the color of the helmet, and it's just because he's a Tar Heel. He just reminds me of Mitch Trubisky and Sam Howell morphed into one big freakazoid quarterback. Everyone's going to fall in love with the way Drake May looks when he walks off the damn bus. I care about what he looks like when he's under pressure. I care about what he looks like when it's not an ideal set of circumstances. And based on the tape being so inconsistent with him, I have concerns about how quickly he's going to be able to develop and correct some of those mechanical flaws and technical flaws that everyone in the scouting community says that he has. That's just where I'm at with it. But the debate all offseason, it feels like it's been May versus Daniels. And I'm here to tell you that I don't think it's just a smokescreen. I really do think this is a 4-quarterback race. And I get to this scenario, since we're on the topic of Penix and J.J. McCarthy. Albert Breer, senior NFL insider for the MMQB, interviewed a couple scouts, executives amongst NFL teams, and he asked them in particular about Washington quarterback Michael Penix and Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy. When he interviewed these scouts, some of the stuff that you see in here kind of backs what I'm saying. For Michael Penix, his rise is real, but not something that I think is massive, because I think he was already highly viewed amongst the scouting community. This is what an AFC college scouting director had to say about Michael Penix. He has a super strong arm. The arm talent, it's impressive. Combined with running faster than most thought, he just had a good day. That was talking about Michael Penix at the combine. This is what an offensive coach from an AFC team had to say. Penix is my number 2 quarterback on the board. I love Penix. He's a stud, a born leader, calm, collected, and in a genuine way, he's a baller. He turns it loose. He can throw it at tight windows. He stands in the pocket. He lets plays develop. This is the part that I like. He takes hits. He takes hits. One thing I always worry about with projecting college quarterbacks to the next level, and one of the traits that really stand out, and we'll have Logan Paulson on at some point this week so we can get the perspective of an actual NFL player. We can have Doc Walker talk about it as well. It earns the respect of your teammates when you are a quarterback and you're willing to sit in there and take it on the chin to complete a pass. And in today's day and age, that a lot of times is the separator between whether a guy is going to be good or whether or not a guy is going to be out of the league in 5-6 years. That's just one of the most important traits that I look at. And for all the crap that Michael Penix got for his performance in the national championship game against damn near the best defense in the country, he stood in there and took hits. Couldn't deny that. He scrambled when he had to. This is another quote from Albert Breer, this piece that he wrote this morning in the MMQB, talking to some scouts about Michael Penix out of Washington and J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan, two of the late risers in this draft process, according to the media. So after talking to a few coaches who raved about Penix, one said that he throws it a little bit like Matthew Stafford. And if you're talking about special arms that have come out in my era here since 2010 on, Matthew Stafford, Patrick Mahomes, the two most special throwers of the football that we've seen since like the start of the 2000s, man. I'm just calling it what it is. As good of a prospect as Luck was, a lot of it had to do with processing, anticipation, timing. The arm talent was damn good with Luck. Let me not try to diminish his arm talent at all. But Stafford and Mahomes, what they were doing at Georgia and at Texas Tech is different. It's just different. And when you talk to coaches, especially after getting the opportunity to watch him throw at the combine, all you keep hearing within the scouting community is how well he throws the football. And at the end of the day, I think that's the most important trait about a quarterback is how well you throw it. The one thing I do worry about, though, with Penix, and McCarthy for that matter, because they're both coming from the same situation, what do they look like when they don't have two NFL tackles? Well, I guess they'll always play with NFL tackles because they'll be in the NFL. But you get what I mean. At Washington, the right tackle and the left tackle are two dudes that are going to go within the top 40 of the draft, right? Fontenot's going to go top 15. Like, and Rosengarn or Rosenbaum, whatever the hell the right tackle's last name is, I can't think of it right now. He's not going to get past 40 where Washington's second round pick is. So, uber talented guys. The receivers, talking about Jalen Polk and Rome Odunze, those are two dog receivers. Depending on who you talk to, Odunze is a top 10 player in this draft. The kid Polk is someone that's going to go in the second round for sure. So Penix has had the benefit of playing with some really good talent at Washington. I wonder what it looks like when he has to fight for his life a little bit there in the pocket and move off platform and change the launch point. What does that look like for him? Not saying that I don't think he can do it, but some people after that Michigan game look at him and say, is he a three-point shooter? And this is a quote from an NFC executive. He called Penix a three-point shooter. The one thing that people are talking about is in that game against Michigan, they kind of gave him the old Buffalo Bills defense against Mahomes when they were tired of getting beat over the top. You push the safeties far as hell off the ball, and you make the guy win with those intermediate throws and force him to take the check down and go on these 10, 12, 11 play, 13 play drives. And in that game against Michigan, we didn't see Penix connect on those throws consistently enough. Now, I'm not one to indict a guy off of one singular performance, but I put it in my notebook. I store it and put it away. But all the other tape for Penix, that USC game, there was a throw he made to the left corner of the end zone. You probably know what I'm talking about, Max. Throws it on a rope on the run over the outstretched arms of the defender. The receiver is able to toe tap it, but the arm talent's just special. And I think for that reason, some teams are straight up with Penix. Some teams are going to be comfortable with the medical. Some teams aren't. I think most teams are going to be comfortable with the medical because he's far removed from anything. That would be my argument. In my case, if I was a scouting director and wanted to bang on the table for Penix, I'd say, look, bro, he hadn't been hurt in a while. This is a guy that teammates love him. You ask Kalen DeBoer, he's the best leader he's ever been around. I love that. That makes me excited. That gets me going. With coaches, when it comes to Penix, they're going to feel like they can fix all of the other things that are wrong with him. I mentioned he is a late riser. J.J. McCarthy's a late riser. And all of this ties into the fact that I think it's now a four-quarterback race for the Washington Commanders with that number two overall pick. J.J. McCarthy also... Albert Breer, the MMQB, he spoke to some scouts and some executives about McCarthy here and why he's rising during this process. And the way that they describe it is he's had a good few months. And for McCarthy, all the things that people are raving about, how he is in the meeting room, the football IQ, and I'm not a QB wins guy, but they continue to talk about how good or how much of a winner he is. And this was really a really insightful piece that Breer put together this morning. J.J. McCarthy in the meetings with teams intimately detailing his bouts with depression during COVID, having to move away from home to go to IMG Academy as a high school senior. This is a guy that has been in the limelight really, like I'm going back to Little League, right? At the Combine, I thought he really helped himself out in terms of the testing numbers with the ball velocity, only behind Joe Milton of Tennessee as the strongest arm there. That matters. And that's going to make him rise up teams' boards. And when you look at the tape with McCarthy, there are plenty of big boy NFL throws on there. My one thing that I would say is, did they lean on him enough? There were plenty of times where his back was against the wall. They were in third and long situations, and McCarthy had to bail him out with his arm. We saw him do that. I just wonder, like with Penix, when the circumstances aren't ideal, when you aren't playing with Donovan Edwards and Blake Corum, the best running back duo in the country, when you don't have Roman Wilson on the outside burning past people and creating tons of separation, how is he going to function? How is he going to function? One thing that people are loving about McCarthy during this process, did a lot of NFL stuff at Michigan, the ability to play under center, the processing, all of that, throwing with anticipation, all of that was on display with McCarthy. You just would like to see it a little bit more when it comes to the tape. I want to open up the phones on this. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lester Lounge. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. How many quarterbacks do you realistically think are in play for Washington with that number two overall pick? I know a lot of people think it's Jaden Daniels versus Drake May. But based on what Albert Breer wrote in his MMQB piece this morning, may not be that way in the media, but scouts in the National Football League are a lot higher on McCarthy and Michael Penix than some of you all out there may think. So confident that I think those two guys should be in play for the number two overall pick as well. Do you believe that it's a four-horse race for the number two overall pick? How many quarterbacks do you think are actually in play for Washington with that number two overall pick? We'll get to that. Plus, Logan Paulson had some interesting comments that I want to recite. He was on the John Keim Report earlier this week and said a lot about the offensive tackle position. When we get back, your calls, how many quarterbacks do you think are in play for Washington with that number two overall pick? All that and more next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll take a trip out to Dallas. We'll be joined by our pal Sean Sharif, the co-host of Sean and RJ weekdays over on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. He'll give us the latest on what's going on with Micah Parsons, CeeDee Lamb, and why the hell didn't Steven and Jerry Jones break up the Dallas Cowboys after their ugly early-round playoff loss to the Green Bay Packers? All that and more coming up next here on The Fan. We'll take you up to 9:15 before handing things over to Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. Then we get you warmed up for Nats and Giants. It is a 9:45 first pitch. Trevor Williams set to get the start for Davey Martinez's squad. And as always, you can hear the action right here on The Fan. Phone lines wide open, 1-800-636-1067 is the number. When you look at what we've heard here in the scouting community about these quarterbacks over the past month or so, how many quarterbacks do you realistically think are in play for the Washington Commanders with that number two overall pick? Because for a majority of this process, it was Jaden Daniels versus Drake May. Then we got to a point here within the last month, month and a half, where J.J. McCarthy, the Michigan quarterback, has gotten a lot of burn. And Tom Pelissero, the NFL Network, throwing gasoline on the fire, saying out at the owners' meetings that, yeah, he's here in Washington, is interested in McCarthy with the number two overall pick. Then over the weekend, Albert Breer, super respected NFL insider, senior NFL reporter for the MMQB, he's been all over this Michael Penix thing and how he has been rising up the ranks within the scouting community and the coaching community. So with that being said, as I've said all offseason, we're at the mercy of the evaluator, right? I said it numerous times here throughout the offseason. If it was my choice, if I had it my way, I'd be trading up for Caleb Williams. If I had it my number two way, I'd be taking Jaden Daniels with the number two overall pick. Other than that, we're at the mercy of the evaluator. Those are my two preferences, Jaden at two or trading up for Caleb. But if they do decide to pull the trigger on J.J. McCarthy at two, guess what? I'll be in a J.J. McCarthy jersey this fall. If they do decide to pull the trigger on Michael Penix with the number two overall pick, I'll have a Michael Penix jersey on. I'll have big Penix energy, 110%. Because I understand and trust that Adam Peters and company will do what's best for the franchise. I will say this, though, when it comes to their decision. While I am on board with whatever they decide to do, the quarterback that they select, their job security moving forward, in my opinion, should be attached to that quarterback. Meaning if that quarterback in 2 to 3 years or 3 to 4 years or 5 years doesn't turn out to be the long-term answer, bye, Adam Peters, bye, Dan Quinn. And I understand that that is a multi-layered discussion, right? Because they could bust on this quarterback, but then still be competitive and relevant because they do well on the rest of their draft picks and they're able to hit on other guys in later rounds. That's a possibility, but it's highly unlikely. That's why I used to always say, man, Kyle Shanahan and Adam Peters in the NFL Illuminati. Robert Saleh, Joe Douglas in the NFL Illuminati. Anytime you swing and miss on a quarterback in the top five and you keep your job, you got to be doing some type of voodoo witchcraft. You kidding me? Now, for Peters, obviously, they've been spectacular in rounds 3 through 7, hitting on these later-round guys, your George Kittles, your Fred Warners, your Greg Greenlaws, your Talanoa Hufungas. For Joe Douglas, he's hit on other picks and maintained the competitive balance on the New York Jets. But his case is a little bit different because I think if Joe Douglas and company don't win this year, it's over for the New York Jets. But you get what I'm saying here. Super important pick. I do think the job security of this regime should be attached to the success of the quarterback. And as we sit here 17 days out from night one of the draft, my thought process has drastically changed. At first, I thought it was just Drake May versus Jaden Daniels. But the more and more we go throughout this process, as the more and more we start to read the tea leaves, the conversation around the water cooler is that J.J. McCarthy for damn sure is in play for that number two overall pick. And then I don't know if Penix will rise up to number two. I don't know if Penix will end up going that high when it's all said and done. But I'm at a point now where I wouldn't be stunned. I wouldn't be have my socks knocked off. I wouldn't be caught with my hand in the cookie jar, so to speak, if they did go with Michael Penix with that number two overall pick. If you want to tap in on how many quarterbacks you think are in play for that number two overall pick, it's 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. We'll get back to the Commanders in a hot second. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, Sean Sharif, host on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, broke some big-time news this week about Micah Parsons falling out of favor within the Dallas Cowboys organization. He's on next with us to tell us more about what's going on in Big D. That's next here on The Fan.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Still
rocking and rolling here on this Monday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge Movement, Linnell Willingham. Taking you up to 9:15 before we hand things over to Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. They'll get you geared up for Nats and Giants with Nats on deck starting at 9:15. First pitch set for 9:45. As always, you can catch out Nats and Giants right here on The Fan. Want to continue the conversation surrounding the National Football League? Right now, we go out to the BetQL guest hotline is where we find our pal Sean Sharif, the co-host of Sean and RJ, weekdays 5:30 to 10 a.m. on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. Sean, what's going on, my man? How are you?
What's up, man? I put my kid down early just for this interview. We hadn't been able to link up for a little bit, so I said, you know what? Have a little extra shot of this Robitussin, and night-night while the sun is out after the eclipse here in DFW. So we had to make special accommodations for this.
Look, I appreciate you giving me some time, my brother. You all have been in the news, going viral on Friday. I want to get right into it. If you can let our D.C. fans know what you've been hearing in the Star about Micah Parsons potentially wearing thin within that Cowboys locker room.
So over the past like few weeks and few months, you know, you just have conversations with people, right? Like you're just BSing, talking about the team. And, you know, a while back you heard like one little negative comment about Micah, and then you'd wait like a few more weeks and someone else would make another comment and you're like, okay, right? The first time it's like, that's kind of weird. And then the second time it's like, okay, whatever. What's this person's agenda? And then you hear like a third and you hear a fourth, and it's from people that you trust. And it's like, okay, like this feels like something. And on Friday, my co-host did his, you know, around the NFL segment. And he was just talking about the Cowboys trade value, right? Because Jerry Jones is signing more people to Arkansas and John Calipari than he is to his own football team. So we're just having, right, we're having off-season discussions. Right. Of course, we always have a trade back discussion. Now we're talking about it with CeeDee Lamb over the possibility. Dallas Morning News today reported that he could be holding out. So we're like, hey, Micah Parsons is up as well. And then I just took that moment on Friday to go ahead and just kind of unload everything that I've been hearing over the weeks and the months, just about some people not necessarily thrilled with dealing with Micah behind the scenes. I'll clarify here. It's not Jerry Jones, not Stephen Jones, not Mike McCarthy. I haven't heard anything from them about this topic, but I just kind of emptied the bucket on Friday. And then, you know, my weekend was ruined from angry, fragile Cowboy fans.
Well, we know how those Cowboys fans are out there in the DFW area, my man. So I don't blame you for that. We know they are sensitive people, and the skin is not very thick, so to speak, right, Sean? But the one thing,
well, look, you know, hang on, I have to interrupt. You know, I do live here. I do make my living here.
We know where your roots lie, though, my man. Look.
All fans, right? Anytime you have a tough day on that text machine or on Twitter and you're like, God, this fan base, it's really every fan base, yes. Right? It's really every fan base. But yeah, there are a number of fragile Cowboy fans. Everyone's pissed off and ticked off throughout this entire offseason, mad at the team, mad at Jerry. And then when I say something about the team, and oh my God, how are you ruining our Super Bowl chances? Oh my God, why are you destroying us? So that's what my weekend was like.
Life as a morning drive host in Dallas, Texas, my man. I know it is not very easy. The one thing I would say is this about Dallas and their entire offseason, and tell me if you agree. It really feels like this is do or die for the entire organization coming up this year. I know the expectations were super high going into that wild card round against Green Bay. And not only did they come up small, but your biggest, baddest players came up small, Sean. You had bad drops from CeeDee Lamb, bad throws from Dak Prescott, Micah Parsons, not really an impact player in that game. Yep. Is this a scenario, Sean, where you truly think all of these major deals get done, or do you think someone's on the outside looking in when it comes to the big three, I guess, in Dallas, when it comes to Dak, CD, and Micah Parsons?
You know, that's a great question. I still feel like Jerry Jones won't let Dak walk, but this is all just setting up for do or die, you know? Like, CeeDee Lamb is playing on a fifth-year option. Obviously, he needs to get $30 million or $31, $32 million, because we know he's an unquestioned one. But if you're going to deal Dak Prescott, what is the point? You know, some would argue, what is the point of having CeeDee Lamb, right? Like, is Justin Jefferson going to rot in Minnesota, or should Minnesota start completely with the rebuild after Kirk Cousins went to Atlanta? You know, I would get Lamb done over if I was going to do the order of things. This is just me. Now, I think, you know, CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons are better at what they do than Dak Prescott. Yeah. I just never thought that Jerry Jones in his later years would dare reset the quarterback position like they did after Aikman here. I just never believed that. I never thought it was possible. And now I'm thinking it's possible. And you talk about morale. Mm-hmm. We've all been at workplaces, right, where, like, contracts are up. And everyone's doing well, but the money's not coming out. We especially know that in the radio world, yes. Right? Won't say anything about Odyssey. But well, actually, with Chris Kiner, with CK over there, I know all y'all get paid. So y'all might be a separate situation. But you know, it affects morale. It affects chemistry. And the morale heading into this season is the worst that I can ever remember in the 14 years of covering this team. With not only Mike McCarthy on a do or die, Dak Prescott on a do or die, but you got Mike Zimmer here on a 1 year contract as well. So I was feeling like there's no way this offseason is going to go by without Dak getting his money. And now it's starting to feel like Jerry Jones is going to be like, you know what? If we have another first round collapse, all y'all need to go anyway. And by the way, uh-huh. If that's their strategy of moving on after this, I do give. Now, I don't want to go through what y'all go through every single year and dealing with
hell,
a non-factor.
Sean, you know it.
Yeah. Yeah, dealing with a loser and a non-factor. I don't want to go through that. But this would be the right decision from Jerry and Steven if they lose again or have a disappointing year to say, look, this quarterback, we're not getting it done with him. We got to go ahead and try to start over and try to find our Mahomes.
Yeah. I can see that scenario playing out that way. I just think it's amazing because it feels like Dak has all the leverage in the world. It's probably the best season of his career. This past year with Dallas, I always say this, though, about Dak, Sean, and I think we're on the same page with this. He is one of the more polarizing quarterbacks in the sport right now. I always feel like these $50, $60 million a year contracts should only be saved for the creme de la creme, the Josh Allens, the Mahomes, the Lamars, the Burrows. I simply don't think Dak is in that category. When you look at his career in Dallas, Sean, he's been one of the more insulated quarterbacks in the National Football League, which is why I thought, and I've heard Dan Orlovsky say this, I don't know if you've said it on your show, I agree with you. I would have blown it up after the loss to Green Bay, because at some point you got to realize that this guy isn't elevating the guys around him, therefore he's not worth the big contract.
Well, I'll say a couple of things. Number one, this is the most disrespected that a runner-up MVP candidate has ever been in the history of the National Football League.
Go ahead.
No. But I'm just talking about from a macro view.
Okay.
Like the guy finished second in MVP. There are legitimate major choker questions about him now in DFW. Like the Cowboys can go, they can go 12-5 all over again. No one's going to give a crap. No one's going to care. Okay, we've seen this before. You're beating up on the sorry NFC East. Congratulations. Nothing is going to matter until they get to at least an NFC championship game. And now there are choker questions about him when it comes to the playoffs. But let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather be the Commanders in y'all's quarterback situation? What would you trade? If Dak was on the market tomorrow, are you telling me, would you not want to sign him? If I told
I'd sign him tomorrow, Sean. What do you mean?
Okay, well, that's the problem. That's the whole.
But that's the thing. There's expectations. It's just a different, what did McMill say, it's levels to this. Dallas is on a different, at a different point in their franchise than Washington is right now. We are desperate for an answer at quarterback. We haven't had one since I've been born. I'm 26, Sean. Like, to me, Dak would represent a long-term answer here, but we know what the expectation is in Dallas. It is championship or bust, S-Bob, as some people like to say it, right? But here in D.C., it's just different. I don't think that's just where we are right now as a franchise. I'd take Dak in a heartbeat.
Well, yeah, it's just a fear of quarterback purgatory,
exactly.
Right?
That's all. No one wants to be left at the altar without a woman.
No one wants to be there. And I think that, you know, Jerry, and here's the other thing that I think could be playing in. I don't know this, but Jerry Jones does not like to be told what to do on anyone else's timeline but him.
Yeah.
He kept Jason Garrett around here for an extra week when everyone knew that Jason was gone, and it's, you're not going to tell me when to fire my head coach. And all these contracts are up, and it's like, yo, man, get it done a year early. Get CeeDee Lamb done a year early. You're not going to tell me. He always likes to say, it ain't on my schedule. That's what he always says on Tuesdays. That's not on my schedule. And it's like, okay, go ahead and wait. You're the one talking about every single dollar allocated towards someone else takes away from another player, the salary cap pie. But you wanna go ahead and not pay when you should in order to beat the market on these leapfrog deals. Don't let Justin Jefferson get his before CeeDee Lamb.
Right.
Don't let the next quarterback get theirs before Dak Prescott. And don't let the next linebacker, Dean, get theirs before Micah Parsons. So my personal opinion is that stubbornness plays into the negotiating a little bit for Jerry, and it ends up costing them more when you wait, as we all know.
We're joined right now by Sean Sharif, the co-host of Sean and RJ. Weekdays, 5:30 to 10 a.m. on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. You can give Sean a follow on the X app at 105.3SS. Sean, the one thing I would say, and this is a super hypothetical, but I just know how Jerry
is.
Hey,
by the way, I appreciate not getting 18 Micah questions. I almost canceled this interview. I was sitting here and I asked our web team today because Trayvon Diggs was up in my DMs over the weekend.
Oh, hold on, I got a story about Trayvon Diggs, Sean. He was in your DM. Tell him, you know my name. It's on Twitter. Send my name back to his ass. It was 2015, 2016, and me and him beefing on the internet over a female that I had no clue he was involved with. And since then, I can't stand his ass. His brother's a brat. Damn the Diggs family.
You and Trayvon Diggs are fighting over a woman?
Man, Trayvon, I ain't even going to do that to him on air.
Trayvon
out here is.
Story. Let me turn around. Let me interview you. We're going here on 106.7 The Fan. I'm Sean Sharif. What's going on here? You just gave me my late night rating.
No way he's sliding in your DMs, though. He need to be sliding on the rehab table. No, I wish the best for him. I don't even hold any grudges over that situation, but him and his camp, I have had some interesting words with, and I'll just leave it at that.
Wow. All right. I'll be texting you after the show. That is incredible. I don't even know where we left off. Go ahead.
But, no, I was going to say this, man. I'm kind of sidetracked, too, now. Hypothetical that potentially maybe is in the back of Jerry's mind, because I can't believe they're dragging their feet on this Dak contract extension. We know Trey Lance is not somebody they have the utmost confidence in. If this year goes sour for the Dallas Cowboys, can you see Jerry Jones doing the ultimate coup and opening the checkbook wider than we've ever seen it? There's two guys that really interest me. I know if McCarthy gets blown out, Bill Belichick 100% will be in contention for that job next year. But, man, could he get Dion to leave Colorado and bring him and Shador to Dallas? Is that something that's been talked about on 105.3?
Oh, my goodness. Well, we've talked about Belichick a ton. You had Jerry telling people with McCarthy obviously under contract, oh, yeah, I could work with him. I could work with him. Then you have other people who said that Bill Belichick, like, you know, he would not be able to come and take this media scrutiny here and deal with all the stuff that you have to deal with. And we have not talked a ton about Dion coaching. We've talked about Shador replacing Dak. But man, I don't even know where they would go. We've been focusing on how McCarthy's still here. because it's tough to have that conversation because Mike's on with us every Friday during the football season. So that's not a very fun conversation to talk about. But there was a thought and a feeling. Here's the other shocking thing about the Cowboys offseason that really hit me as like a fan of Jerry Jones, like personally. Man, like the realization, like kind of hitting me that like Jerry might be frugal. Like
the
Jerry
money
Jones,
might be drying
like,
up.
He might be cheap. I don't know, man. Like someone told me that Mike McCarthy was only really here because he's owed a year on his contract, and Jerry Jones does not like to pay people to not work. And I was like, really? That's what you're doing? Like you're in your latter years, and you need to go get the person that you like. The greatest coach of all time was sitting out there.
Yeah,
he was sitting right there. And maybe you avoided him because you didn't want to owe Mike McCarthy money to not coach. But this all-in statement that backfired right in Jerry's face, one of his all-time worst statements. Now, I don't know about you. Mm-hmm. I've been to that awesome, like, that casino around there. That, you know, I had my brother's bachelor party around there that y'all got.
I want you
to go to the blackjack table and tell them all in and put in half your chips.
see how they look at you.
Throw your ass out on the curb or take you to the back room. All in to me means all the chips are going in. Jerry's like, no, insulting our intelligence. No, you don't totally understand what all in means. It could mean this. It could mean that. And I'm like, damn, man, Jerry Jones might be a little frugal and tight in the wallet with this lack of spending, and McCarthy's still around. So that disappointed me this offseason as well.
Well, it makes sense why Jerry, if he is frugal, it makes a lot of sense because I know his money has been going to lawyers a lot recently. So we'll see.
You know, I think my phone is cutting out.
I'm going to have to go.
Diggs is in my DMs. I'd rather go talk to Trayvon.
I will say this real quick before we let you go. What do you think, two-parter for you here before we let you go, the impact that Dan Quinn's loss will have on Dallas, Dan Quinn and the free agents that they lost, and then what are we getting here in D.C. that should make us excited?
Great questions. You are going to get a guy that the players are going to absolutely love. Dan Quinn, high energy, the backwards hat and all that stuff. He did change. Now, he was a villain here. We turned on Dan Quinn at the end, still trying to figure out that Packers game plan. But everyone, you talk about a positive energy, and I heard y'all's front office say that, you know, I feel like they hired Dan Quinn because he was a more positive energy than Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
And Dan Quinn is just going to be a guy who drives you with enthusiasm. And look, man, if Michael Parsons was indeed available, look at all the Cowboys running to follow Dan Quinn. Al Harris over here said, I'll follow Dan Quinn wherever he goes. Micah looked at him like an uncle. You know what I mean? Like a father type figure. So you're going to get the best, most positive personality in DQ over there with the Commanders.
Sean, I appreciate you giving me some time, my man. You let me know how your conversation with Trayvon Diggs goes.
Forget my conversation. You let me know how your conversation went. Send me the screenshots. We'll trade screenshots.
We can do it, man. Sean, I appreciate you giving me some time as always, my man. We'll do it again soon.
Thank you, brother. Keep killing it. I'll talk to you later.
Yes, sir. That is Sean Sharif, the co-host of Sean and RJ. Weekdays, 5:30 to 10 a.m. on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. Make sure you give Sean a follow on Twitter at 1053SS for the latest and greatest on the Dallas Cowboys. Boy, oh boy, are things getting hot out in Big D. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back, top of the 8 o'clock hour here in our nation's capital. When you consider all of Washington's offseason needs, we know quarterback is a need, edge rusher, corner, wide receiver. Would you trade 36 and 40 to move up for an offensive tackle? We'll tackle that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.